We're reading stories from Genesis about how God shows compassion and keeps promises to the people God created, children who are broken and hurting and in need of help. Today we turn to the story of Abram, whose name later changes to Abraham, and we may use that interchangeably. God had called Abram to leave his home and go to a new land. God had promised to make him a great nation, to bless him, and that all people would be blessed through him. Now, Abram's been living in this new land for a while, and in the previous couple chapters, we see Abram arranging with his nephew Lot where each would live, and then rescuing Lot when he'd been taken captive in a war, and finally Abram negotiating with the neighboring kings. And then we get to chapter 15, which is about the Lord renewing his covenant with Abraham. Listen to God's word. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and will be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking pot, fire pot, with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever wished that you could just hear the voice of God speaking clearly to you, like Abraham heard it? And Adam and Eve walking in the garden with them heard it. God warned Cain that sin was crouching at his door. And the Lord came to Noah and said, "Make yourself an ark." Do you wish to even hear just the word of the Lord in your dreams? Wouldn't that be great? Maybe some of you do experience this. But for me, well, those times when I think I might be hearing the nudge of God's Spirit, it's just not as clear as I want it to be. And even when I do sense the leading of the Lord, sometimes I get a little tired of waiting. I wonder where God is and whether God really will keep his promises. I think that doubt is part of the human condition, a result of our broken relationship with God. And this is true even for Abram. Abram had heard God say, "Go from your country, and I will make you a great nation." Now it's probably 10 years later or so, and Abram has been in the new country for a while, but he's not really settled. And he has no children. He's been figuring out for himself how to live in the land and negotiate with the local leaders. He sees no sign of becoming a great nation himself, and he just barely figured out how to navigate this recent kerfuffle with the local kings. And then God comes to him, and God says, "Don't be afraid." Abram's not sure what to think. God continues to assure Abraham, to say, "I am your shield, who protected and delivered you in this recent trouble. And I will continue to provide, to be your great reward." And we may expect Abram to respond with thanks and praise at this moment. But Abram said, "What?" He's frustrated. He reminds the Lord that he still has no children. "So what can you give me, Lord? I've had to take matters into my own hands. I now plan to leave my estate to my servant Eliezer." Maybe Abram figures that the Lord can use Eliezer to build the nation that had been promised. Or maybe Abram had given up on that promise. Then the Lord spoke again. "Nah, not that man. You will have a son of your own flesh to be your heir. Now look." And then the Lord took Abram outside. I wonder what that must have been like for Abram to be led outside by the Lord. Kids, do you think it was something like when your parents wake you up at night and take you by the hand to go outside to look at the stars or maybe to watch for a meteor shower? Maybe you've done that when you're camping or traveling out in the country, away from the city lights, where you can see the vast, dark sky at night. We can see so many stars just with our own eyes, like Abram would have seen. Have you ever looked for the Big Dipper or seen the whole Milky Way? Can you imagine the Lord taking Abram out of his tent to look up? And he saw the same stars in the Milky Way that we might see. And how does it make you feel to see that amazing sky? It gives me a deep sense of wonder. There is a mighty and creative God who made it all so beautiful and awesome. There are so many stars. And now we get to see these amazing pictures from the James Webb telescope. There are so many more stars out there than we can see with our own eyes, more than our imaginations can even comprehend. And all of these stars and galaxies are created by the awesome God who demonstrated to Abram how great he is. The Lord used the stars in the sky to assure Abram of the promise to give him children. And Abram believed the Lord. Abram believed and trusted that the Lord is who he says he is. and God credited it to him as righteousness. In a way, Abram didn't really do anything special here. It wasn't his own plans or his own power or his own action, but it was the Lord's work that moved him to believe, to put his trust in the God who made promises for his future. And this verse, verse 6, about Abram believing God is a key verse that New Testament writers Paul and James also point back to encourage all believers to have the faith and trust in God that Abraham displayed here. And then Genesis 15 says, the Lord speaks to Abram again. Was it the next morning? Or maybe much later? It doesn't really matter, but the Lord comes to Abram again. And now the Lord reminds Abram that he is the one who brought him to this new place to give him possession of the land. One reason I suspect this might have been a while later is that Abram is back to his old broken record. But Abram said, how? How? Sure, Lord, you said you'd give me this land, but how am I to know this will be true? What happens next may seem strange to us. God tells Abram to get a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and a couple of birds. These animals were typically used for sacrifices and sometimes for an ancient ritual to seal a treaty or a covenant between two parties. They would cut a deal by cutting the body of an animal. And as they sealed their covenant, they walked together between the two severed parts and prayed that the same thing would happen to them if they did not keep their commitment. It was sometimes known as a blood oath. Cutting a covenant could result in the shedding of blood. So now Abram cuts the large animals in halves and sets them across from each other, and he sets the two birds across from each other. What a bloody mess. No wonder he has to shoo away the birds of prey while he waits. And a long day passes, and it seems like the Lord isn't going to show up. But then see what happens next. Abram falls into a deep sleep, a dreadful darkness, it says. Then the Lord, present in that smoking fire pot and blazing torch, the Lord passes between the pieces, the Lord alone, while Abram is sleeping. By passing through the pieces alone, the Lord communicates to Abram that it depends upon the Lord alone to fulfill the covenant. All of these covenant promises have come at the Lord's initiative. The promise to Adam and Eve, the promise to Cain, to Noah, and now to Abraham. The Lord will do great things because of God's amazing grace and great compassion. It's not because of anything Abram did or anything that we do, and it is so much more than any of us deserve. So the obligation to fulfill the promise belongs to the Lord. Abram's plans to make his servant his heir, that's not God's idea. Abram's negotiation with the neighboring kings, God protected him, but that will not be the way that Abram gets the land. God will fulfill the promise when the time is right. And that time will be a long way off. The Lord says, you have to know that your children and their children and on, they'll be strangers in the land for 400 years. What a long time. And worse yet, they will be enslaved and they'll suffer. But that time will come to an end. And in the meanwhile, it's going to be okay for you, Abram. You will live a good long life and die in peace. And your descendants will receive this great land from Egypt to the Euphrates. One commentary I read suggested that part of God's timing may be because of compassion for the people who currently live in Canaan, because their sin was not yet so great as it would become. It's an interesting perspective to be reminded that while God is taking care of us, God may also be seeking the good of all creation and all people. God's timing and God's plans are often mysterious to us, even when we know the promises of God. And the Bible is full of great promises from the Lord. And even when we believe that we are following God's leading, God's timing and plans are mysterious. And we are a broken people, full of fear and doubt. So how are we to know that the Lord is with us in all these things? Maybe we can walk outside at night away from the city lights and look at the stars and remember that the Lord made all of this, and the Lord made us, and we are His. And God's purposes are good. And sometimes God surprises us by seeming miraculous signs of God's presence with us. I know someone who traveled through South America during a year off from college. One evening, as darkness was falling, he was out there alone in a forested place, and he heard wild dogs barking and coming closer and closer. And he was terrified of what might happen. And he said, suddenly a bright light shone, and the sound of the barking dogs disappeared. And he testified to me that that experience felt like the presence of the Lord delivering him, something like that shield of protection. Maybe you haven't experienced anything like that. Sometimes we experience the presence of the Lord through the mysterious ways that the Holy Spirit moves among us. Many of us remember how broken we felt during the week of Synod in June. We shared our frustrations in conversations around fire pits that weekend, and like Abraham, we asked, what? How? We wondered where God was working in all of this. And then came that Sunday after Synod. As pastors and worship planners, we had prepared a service that gave room for lament and space for prayer. And as we worshiped together on that Sunday, God moved among us in ways that surprised us. Our quiet confession was met with the Spirit's power, turning our pleading to praise and our tears to joyful songs. We experienced God reminding us of promises to be with us, to equip us and encourage us as our brokenness was transformed to trust in the Lord. Many of us have commented on that Sunday's worship, and we feel God continuing to sustain us by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit among us, even while we wonder about the future. Will room be made for all God's children in our lifetime? God's timing is not always our timing. Yet God is good. And that Sunday was galvanizing for us, a clear sign, like a beacon in the darkness, to remind us that God is with us. Our Lord is with us in the waiting. In his commentary on Genesis, biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann reminds us this: the problem with faith is waiting, even when the delay seems unending. But gifts may not be forced. Futures stay in the hand of the God who gives them. Dear friends, fellow fragile and broken children of the Lord, it's not easy to always trust in God's timing and God's purposes. And yet God does remain with us in all of the spaces where we are waiting. And God gives signs of his promises, signs like a rainbow, the changing seasons, the stars in the sky. And this candle that we light each week is a sign too. It's a sign to remind us that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is here. The light that shines in the darkness, the light that shows us the way, like a fire pot or a torch shining in the darkness, reminding us that the promises of the Lord are trustworthy and true. Again, words from Walter Brueggemann. God is a promise maker. Abraham is a promise bearer. Until the promise is kept, the promise of the land and of the children to inherit that land, until that promise is fulfilled, there is covenant. And Genesis 15 asks whether Abraham can, in fact, trust. And it asks if Yahweh can, in fact, be trusted. It is faith which permits Abraham to trust and God to be trusted. May God give us such faith as we go through our daily lives. Dear friends, let's pray. Holy God, awesome God, increase our faith. We look at the past to see how your hand has worked in our lives, and you have shown yourself to be with us through all our hopes and fears. And we give you thanks. We're grateful that your mercies are new every morning. And we look forward with hope to see how you will provide for our needs and you will lead us on. Thank you for your promises, O Lord. Help us to put our trust in you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. And all God's people say, amen.